It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching.
From the book of Revelation, we are continuing our series on the book of Revelation, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. We are learning throughout this series in the book of Revelation that the number one rule for interpretation is that Scripture interprets Scripture. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. We are also learning that the book of Revelation has an abundance of symbolic language. And even though we study this symbolic language and interpret this symbolic language, that this symbolic language always has a literal meaning. And we are learning that the judgments during this great tribulation in the book of Revelation are not being done with man-made devices. God is using supernatural intervention, supernatural phenomenon to judge the earth. Revelation chapter 11 continues a parenthetical insertion between the sixth and seventh trumpets. It continues from chapter 10, verse 1 through Revelation 11, verse 14. These particular verses are in between the sixth and seventh trumpets as a parenthetical insertion. Just as in chapter 7 was a parenthetical insertion between the sixth and seventh seals. So these parenthetical insertions, chapter 7 and chapter 10 through 11 through 14, give a picture of what's in between the sixth and seventh seal and the sixth and seventh trumpet. Chapter 11, verses 1 through 2. And there was given unto me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall be tread under foot 42 months. Here we see in verse 1 a rod. This rod is measuring for chastisement. Scriptures in 2 Samuel 7, Psalm 2 give a picture of that. Also, Paul underscores the same point in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 21. He says to the Corinthian church, Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and in a spirit of meekness? Here, the rod is being prepared for chastisement. This measurement of the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. This speaks of chastisement for the Jews during the Great Tribulation. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7 echoes this time of tribulation for the Jewish people. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Once again, the great tribulation being used not only to bring the children of Israel to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but also bringing the Gentiles that have been left behind from the rapture. Verse number 2 speaks of the outer court not being measured for chastisement. The outer court was the place for the Gentiles to worship. The inner court for the Jews. It is not being measured for chastisement because the Antichrist will take over the temple and, as seen in Revelation in further chapters, will build an image to the beast. And as seen in the book of Revelation and in 2 Thessalonians, that there should be an image made unto the beast. And this particular image is going to be set up in the very temple of the Jews. Thus, no chastisement is needed for the outer court. It is given already to the Gentiles. This will happen in the middle of the Great Tribulation, 42 months, as it says in verse 2, 3.5 years, the middle of the 7-year period of the Great Tribulation. Once again, chapter 10 to chapter 11, verse 14, is a picture taken of what's going to happen in the Great Tribulation as a pause in between the 6th and 7th trumpet. When the middle of the Great Tribulation takes place, we shall read about the rise of the Antichrist and the rise of his image being built in the temple. Verse number 3 through 6. And I will give unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man shall hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Here in verse number 3, we see the two witnesses. These individuals are Moses and Elijah. We know that from the scriptures. Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 through 6 says, "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Matthew chapter 17, when the disciples went to the Mount of Transfiguration, they seen Jesus along with Moses and Elijah. Chapter 17, verse 3, "Behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him," talking with Jesus. How did they know this was Moses and Elias? Moses and Elias lived centuries before the disciples. There were no name tags to let them know this is Moses and this is Elias. The Holy Spirit gave them illumination. The Holy Spirit let them know this is who this was. Moses representing the law and Elijah representing the prophets. Their ministry was not yet complete. Therefore, they are the two witnesses that will come back and prophesy along with the 144,000 as in chapter 7 during the Great Tribulation. Scripture says in verse 3, 1,260 days. This speaks of 3.5 years. This speaks of a half of the Great Tribulation. And this period of numbering the Great Tribulation is thorough throughout the scripture. Daniel speaks of it, and throughout the book of Revelation speaks of this timeline of the Great Tribulation. Verse 3, clothed in sackcloth. This speaks of their ministry of repentance. Individuals in the Old Testament would lay down in sackcloth, repenting and weeping over their sins. This is similar to the ministry of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, in Matthew chapter 3, said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Verse 4 speaks of two olive trees and two candlesticks. This speaks of Zechariah chapter 4, which further underscores who these two witnesses are. Verse 5 speaks of fire proceeding out of their mouth. This speaks of judgment. Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 14 echoes this. God speaking to Jeremiah, "Behold, I will make my words in thy mouth like fire, and this people would, and it shall devour them." These words are the words of judgment and repentance, and the judgment to come will be the plagues upon the earth following their words. Verse 6 speaks of their anointing to shut up heaven that it rain not. to turn waters into blood and to smite the earth with plagues. This is mimicking and echoing and mirroring the ministry of Moses in chapter 7 through 10 of Exodus, the ministry of Elijah with shutting up the rain in James chapter 5, and fire coming down in the ministry of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18. The ministry of the two witnesses is clear in the scriptures that it's Moses and Elijah appearing on the Mount of Transfiguration, representing the law and the prophets, and representing that their ministry is not yet completed and that they will come back to complete their ministry during the Great Tribulation. One of the two witnesses is often said to be Enoch because he was translated back in the book of Genesis. However, this is a stretch because the ministry of Enoch was not miracles as Moses and Elijah. The ministry of Enoch was a picture of the rapture as the righteous are taken out from a wicked world. As Enoch being righteous was translated from the wicked time in which he lived. Verse number 7 through 8. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom, and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Here we see that when the ministry is completed, the Antichrist shall wage war against them and kill them. This beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit is also the direct picture and reference to Revelation chapter 17, verse 8, which speaks of a false resurrection of the Antichrist. The Antichrist, as we shall read later, shall be mortally wounded, appearing to die from a head wound, and the devil shall enter and possess the Antichrist, rising him up in the middle of the Great Tribulation, giving a false sense of resurrection that the world may follow this individual. Scripture is clear that the devil has possessed in the scriptures before when he entered into Judas Iscariot to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil, throughout the scriptures, is always seeking to mimic God. He wants to be worshipped as God. He mimicked God throughout the scriptures, and through the Antichrist, he is going to mimic Christ with a false resurrection and false rulership. The false prophet that we shall read about shall mimic the Holy Spirit with false miracles. And the beast that we shall read about shall mimic God with false worship. The unholy trinity, the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. Verse 8 speaks of their dead bodies lying in the street of the great city, which is Jerusalem. For scripture says Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Spiritually, this great city at this particular time in the scripture is called Sodom and Egypt. Sodom, speaking of the lack of morality in the city. Sodom, speaking of the sins of the flesh, homosexuality, immorality. Egypt, speaking of idolatry, speaking of materialism and loving the things of the world more than God. John gave the same warning in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So here, spiritually, the picture of Sodom and Egypt representing immorality and representing materialism is a picture of the world. Verses 9 through 12. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Here we see a verse 9, a worldwide broadcasting of these two witnesses being made a spectacle in the streets, being allowed to lay there in their dead bodies 3 days and a half. In verse 9, we see that there's a worldwide broadcasting of these two witnesses being made a spectacle and being allowed to lay in the streets 3.5 days. This speaks that the tribulation is worldwide, and there's worldwide knowledge of the great tribulation through satellite broadcasting. The whole world will see the two witnesses, their ministry and their death. Verse 10 speaks of the whole world knowing that they're dead and knowing their ministry, because they rejoice over their death. For the words of their ministry and the miracles of their ministry were tormenting those that are unbelievers on the earth. They're celebrating because no more will someone tell them to repent. They're celebrating because no more will someone tell them how to live. They're celebrating because they think that the message of God has been silenced just because the messengers of God have been silenced. The message of God lives on through others that will proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The message of God will continues through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, pricking individuals in their hearts and convicting them to repent. There will be a worldwide celebration speaking to the death of these two witnesses, because there was a worldwide impact from their ministry. Verse 11 speaks of the Spirit of God entering into them after 3.5 days. These 3.5 days of laying dead in the street speaks to 3.5 days of opportunity to repent in their death as they lay there 3.5 days in the street for all the world to see. They saw the ministry, an opportunity for repentance in their life. They see the death, an opportunity to repent in their death. The voice that comes from heaven is the same voice that will cause us to be raptured. It's the same voice found in chapter 4 of Revelation. And the ascension up into a cloud speaks and points to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and this will be a reminder to the entire world that in Christ is life through his resurrection. Jesus said in John chapter 11, verses 25 through 26, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Verse number 12 speaks of this voice coming down from heaven, the same voice found in Revelation chapter 4, and the same voice that will speak to us one day as we are raptured with the Lord. Verse number 13, and the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of the men 7,000, and the remnant were frightened, and gave glory to the God of heaven. Here we see a great earthquake, a mega earthquake. earthquake that cannot be measured and is off the Richter scale. This destruction of the 10th part of the city is not even included, naming other parts of the world. And in this great earthquake, individuals that remained were affrighted and gave glory to God. This is what happens when individuals see the glory of God. They begin to have godly fear and perhaps leading to godly repentance. Luke chapter 5 speaks of this. After Jesus Christ healed the man stricken with a palsy, being paralyzed. Luke 5:26, and they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." God is speaking through these plagues and miracles, and individuals that receive it with the fear of God will be moved to receive the love of God through grace in Jesus Christ and give their life to Christ. Verses 14 through 15, the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever." Here we see that the parenthetical insertion is concluded, and in verse 14, the ending of the second woe, or the sixth trumpet, and the beginning of the third woe, the seventh trumpet. Verse 15, the seventh trumpet speaks of a precursor announcement of the kingdom come. Revelation chapter 19 is the fulfillment of the kingdom come, and this is a precursor announcement of that time. Throughout the scriptures, God's kingdom is announced that it is coming. Isaiah chapter 9, Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7. Obadiah verse 21 in the last verse proclaims, "And the kingdom shall be the Lord's." Jesus spoke in Matthew 6, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Verses 16 through 17, "And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned." Here we see the 24 elders representing again the believers in the Old and New Testament, the church also, as spoken of in chapter 4 and 5. Here we have looking down from the balcony of heaven during the great tribulation upon the earth, celebrating and knowing that thy kingdom come. Verse 17 once again speaks of God in biblical language. God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, speaks of God and this biblical language that we find throughout the book of Revelation. Verse 18, "And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and at the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou shouldst give us reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to thy saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth." Here we see that the nations are angry. Angry against God because judgment is coming. Angry against those that are believers in the world who have not worshipped the Antichrist because they represent the righteousness of God and expose their wickedness through their light. This anger will culminate, as we read later, to the nations gathering against the Lord in the battle of Armageddon. Verse 18, speaking of destroying them which destroy the earth, speaking of destroying them that cause the destruction of the earth, because due to their rebellion against God, God has to trigger the great tribulation to try and bring them to repentance. verse number 19. And the temple of God, which opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Here we see, as part of the seventh trumpet, not just a precursor announcement of thy kingdom come, but more plagues upon the earth. The temple of God, seeing the ark of his testament, speaks of the presence of God. This ark is spoken of throughout the scriptures and has different names to it. The ark of the testament, the ark of the covenant, the ark of the Lord, the ark of the covenant of God, so on and so forth. Spoken of throughout the Old Testament in Joshua, in the book of 1 Samuel, in the book of 2 Chronicles, in the book of Psalms. This ark represents the continual presence of God and also represents that these plagues are coming from on high, that God, through his divine intervention, is continuing to judge the earth to bring them to repentance. In other words, continual reminder to the world that these are not man-made plagues upon the earth, but spiritually from on high, as God, through his love, is attempting through the great tribulation to melt the stony hearts of men and bring them to repentance. Verse 19 speaks of lightnings. These are exponential lightning bolts peppering throughout the earth with deafening thunderings that pierce eardrums. Voices from on high of judgment and repentance through these plagues. Earthquake off the Richter scale and great hail. As we shall read later, these hailstones are over 100 pounds and pepper and pulverize and pummel the earth. There will be no place to hide during the great tribulation, no place to go but on bended knees and cry out to God and receive Jesus Christ in love as Lord and Savior. This is Revelation chapter 11. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from his loving kindness, I invite you to pray with me this prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. Won't you bow your head and close your eyes and pray with me this prayer? Oh God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.